Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 2, no, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 7. Vikramo Bhur Bhuva Swascha Shemasya Sharnasya Cha Sarva Kama Parasyapi Haresh Charna Aspadam Vikramo Bhur Bhuva Swascha Shemasya Sharanasya Cha Sarva Karma Varasyapi Hare Sharna Aspadam Vikramo Bhur Bhuva Swascha Chemasya Sharanasya Cha Sarva Karma Varasyapi Hare Sharna Aspadam Vikramo Bhur Bhuva Swascha Chemasya Sharanasya Cha Sarva Kama Varasyapi Hare Sharna Aspadam Sascha 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 Sarva Kama Varasyapi Hare Sharana Aspadam Vaishnavis Vikramo Bhur Bhuva Swascha Kemasya Sharanasya Cha Sarva Kama Varasyapi Hare Sharana Aspadam Vikramo Bhur Bhuva Swascha Janasya Sharanasya. Sarvakama Varasyati. Vikramaha. Forward steps. Bhuvaha. Of the lower and upper planets. Svaha. As well as of heaven. Cha. Also. Chaimasya. Of protection of all that we have. Sharanasya. Of fearlessness. Cha. Also. Sarvakama. All that we need. Varasya. Of all benedictions. Api. Exactly. Hare. Of the Lord. Charanaha. The lotus feet. Aspadam. Shelter. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thus, the forward steps of the Lord are the shelter for the upper, lower, and heavenly planets, as well as for all that we need. His lotus feet serve as protection from all kinds of fear. Purport. For absolute protection from all sorts of fear, as well as for all our needs of life, we must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, not only in this planet, but also in all the upper, lower, and heavenly planets. This absolute dependence on the lotus feet of the Lord is called pure devotional service, and it is directly hinted at within this passage. No one should have any kind of doubt in this matter, nor should one be inclined to seek the help of any other demigods, because all of them are dependent on him only. Everyone, except the Lord himself, is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Even the all-pervading Supersoul is also dependent on the supreme aspect of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Om Vijnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurad Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this is a point that's made throughout all of the Vedic literature. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. Nobody can exist. Not even the expansions of Krishna can exist without his mercy, without his pleasure. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated, it gives a whole list of different expansions of Krishna, all different avatars. And at the end of the list, it says, Ete Champsa Kalapumsa. Krishna's too, Bhagavan Swayam. All these other incarnations and avatars, they are expansions from you, Krishna. You are Bhagavan. You are the supreme personality of Godhead. And as far as the demigods go, it's an entirely different ball game. They are Bibinamsha expansions. There's Krishna has his Swamsha expansions. That means expansions that are equal to himself. And then he has his vibhanamsha, his separated expansions, which include us, the jiva souls, mamai bamso, jiva loke, jiva bhuta, sanatana. So we're part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not on the same level as the swamsha expansions. So what are the demigods? The demigods are jiva souls who have been given different responsibilities in the management of the material universes. So they are not to be worshipped as supreme. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kamais taistar hrittigyana prapajanti nyadevata. Those who are deluded by false ego and material desires, they worship the demigods. Only the foolish, deluded souls do that. So, antuvatu palam tesham tadbhavityalpa medasam. So people with small intelligence, they approach the demigods for material benefits to be enjoyed within the material universe. And even they may get those things, still, it's limited, temporary kind of enjoyment. So, ultimately, everyone depends upon Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham adir hi devanam. I am the source of the demigods. They come from me. So, Srila Prabhupada many times recommended, we shouldn't approach the demigods. We should respect them. They should be respected, but ultimately, we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna's superiority is demonstrated in many places. There are so many descriptions of how the demigods will sometimes try to challenge the supremacy of Lord Krishna. So, like in a few days, we're going to be celebrating Govardhan Puja. And there, Krishna had stopped the cowherd men from worshiping Lord Indra. They had the practice, since they were agricultural, pastoral people, they depended upon the rain. So there'd be nice grass for the cows to eat, nice crops that could be grown, grains, anad bhavanti bhutani, from we all subsist on food grains. And where do the food grains come from? They come from rain, which comes from sacrifice, in this case to Lord Indra. So every year they were performing this Indra puja, but Krishna inquired from his father, well, what is this? Explain. And Krishna says, no, don't continue that. Take all the paraphernalia that you were going to use to worship Indra, sacrifice to Indra, and bring it to Govardhan Hill, and you worship Govardhan Hill, which is actually Krishna was represented there. So when Indra found out about this, he said, who is this boy? Who's this child doing all this? You know. So he sent the rain clouds to punish the residents of Vrindavan, to teach them, you know, they should worship him. And Krishna defeated him by lifting the Govardhan hill to shelter all the cows and the residents of Vrindavan. It's kind of interesting. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that of the demigods, I am Indra. You know, so it was interesting that Krishna demonstrated his superiority over the demigod Indra. And then another example from, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, 10th canto, is Lord Brahma came to Vrindavan. He saw Krishna as a child going out into the forest with all his cowherd friends. And the calves and the cows. And Brahma, he couldn't appreciate, you know, this form of God as a small cowherd boy. He said, why are these people so devoted to him? Let me test him. I don't really think he's so powerful. So he stole the cowherd boys and the calves and cows that they were pasturing. And then Krishna manifested himself as the cowherd boys and as the calves and cows. He just expanded himself and took their very same forms. And for about a year, he was going out every day with his cowherd boy and cow expansions. And in Vrindavan, people were developing increasing affection for their children, their sons. Their sons, they began to love them more and more and more. And, you know, the cows began to love their cow and calf. They loved them very much. They were increasing their love for them as well. And, you know, this went on for a whole year. And Lord Balaram, Krishna's brother, he began to note something's a little strange here. You know, strange things going on. So he asked Krishna, are you up to something? And meanwhile, Brahma was totally bewildered. Yeah, because he came back, he saw, didn't I put them in the cave, the cowherd boys and the calves? Didn't I put them in the cave? He goes, and now they're here. And then Krishna made him see that they're all actually forms of Vishnu, forms of Krishna. And he was just totally amazed. And he could understand, you know, his real position. And then, as far as Lord Shiva is concerned, many worship him as supreme. But yeah, there was once an occasion where, you know, he granted a benediction to someone and it kind of turned around on him and he had to seek out Krishna's mercy. This was this Vrikasura. Sorry about that. This Vrikasura, he wanted a benediction from one of the demigods. So he happened to meet Narada Muni. And all these details that I'm giving are from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Krishna book, and the puppet show. So it's all bona fide. So Narada Muni kind of understood, you know, this is a real mode of ignorance, tamaguna type of person. So I'm going to send him to Shiva. So the Vrikasura went to Kedarnath, which is up in the Himalayan mountains. It's place where Lord Shiva would reside sometime. And ordinary people can only go up there. It's like most of the time it's covered by ice and snow. And maybe 1 month a year, in July, it's possible to go there in the summertime. People go. So he went, you know, Vrikasura went to Kedarnath, and he decided, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to perform sacrifice until Shiva appears to me so I can ask him for the benediction that I want. So he lit a fire and he sat down. He ignited a fire of sacrifice and he began cutting pieces of his own flesh off and was offering them into this sacrificial fire. So he did it for a whole day. You know, Shiva didn't appear, and he did it for a second day, a third day, 6 days. You know, he did it. Shiva didn't appear to him. And then he decided, okay, I'm going to cut my head off. You know, he took bath in a lake, must have been pretty cold, icy water. You know, but that's what you're supposed to do with a sacrificial animal. You bathe it, and then when it's still wet, you know, it's sacrificed. So he had this kind of instrument. You know, he was going to chop his own head off and offer it to Shiva. So Shiva, being a little bit compassionate upon the guy, he appeared and said, okay, you know, you don't have to do that. You know, he told them, it's not necessary to cut your head off and cut your flesh and all these things that you're doing. Actually, I'm satisfied by if someone just offers me a little Ganges water. You know, that's enough for me. But what do you want? You know, so he said, Vrikasura said, I want the power that if I touch somebody's head, it'll break open and he'll die. That's what I want. That's the benediction that I want. Could have asked for something beneficial to society. Like Srila Prabhupada, you know, says in Krishna book about this, that the material scientists are like that. They could be doing something for the benefit of society, but they're making all kinds of weapons and very destructive things, chemical weapons, biological weapons, so many things that are meant for the destruction of of people, not their real benefit. So, but anyways, when Vrikasura got his benediction from Shiva, the first thing he did is he started running after Shiva because he wanted to kill him and enjoy his wife, Gauri, his consort. So Shiva began running because he didn't want to get touched by this Vrikasura. So he began running everywhere, not just on Earth, but to other planets. He wanted to take shelter of someone, anyone, to get free from this power that he granted this crazy Vrikasura. So he went through all the planets of the demigods. None of them could help him. So then he began running towards Svetadvip, which is the local Vaikuntha planet where Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, lives. And Lord Narayan could see the trouble that Shiva was in, so he decided, okay, I'll take care of this. So he turned himself into the form of a young brahmachari, young, innocent brahmachari. And, you know, Shiva kind of ran by, zipped by, and then Vrikasura was coming, you know, running after him. And this little Brahmin boy says to him, wait. So he stops. And the Brahmin boy says, oh, son of Shakuni. And that was, you know, Vrikasura was the son of Shakuni. So he goes, oh, you know me? And the Brahmin boy tells him, yes, but, you know, I think you're overexerting yourself. You know, you got to take care of your body. You know, I think you need a little rest right now, and then you can continue. But, you know, we have to take care of our bodies if we're going to enjoy life. And, you know, the Vrikasura, the demon, he thought, okay, sure. Now, and then the little Brahmin boy, you know, Krishna in the form of the little brahmachari, it's a little brahmachari boy. He said, well, why don't you just tell me what you're up to, what's going on here? Maybe I can help you out. And, you know, Vrikasura said, well, you know, I'm looking for a benediction. I went to Narada Muni, and he told me to go to Shiva, and I performed all kinds of sacrifices, and he gave me this benediction, you know, that I could, if I touch somebody's head, it'll crack open and he'll die. And the brahmachari boy told him, are you sure about that? I kind of heard that Lord Shiva, he got in trouble with his father-in-law, and, you know, he's a little disturbed right now. I don't know if I would believe everything he says when he's in this kind of state. So, you know, here's what you should do. You should, because I think Lord Shiva has really deceived you here. So you just test it by touching your own head. And when you find out that he cheated you in this way, then you can go and kill him, you know, or whatever. So, you know, Vrikasura touched his head, boom, he's gone. So even Lord Shiva, he's dependent on the mercy of Lord Krishna. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.